13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is filled with parables. And I remember that my teacher in Bible school that taught on the Gospels, his name was Brother Matulet. he was German, and he only taught at the Bible school 1 year. And that was my freshman year. It was his only year there. He was an elderly man, but a real man of faith. And he was supposed to be going through the whole Gospels. And he spent almost the entire time in Matthew 13. And, of course, he would pronounce it something like the 13th chapter of Matthew. 13th chapter of Matthew. So I won't go into all the parables, but I want to read at the very end of Matthew 13 with verse 53. Matthew 13 and verse 53. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus' hometown was Nazareth. It was a small place, very small, humble place. But all through the Gospels, Jesus is referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, some have confused it with Jesus being a Nazarite. He was not a Nazarite. He didn't take that Nazarite vow like Samson did. He wasn't a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene. He was from this little village called Nazareth. That was his hometown. Now, before this account, he had been, about a year before, he had went to Nazareth, his hometown, and there he had attempted to teach them and to speak to them and reveal to them the fact that he was the Messiah, and they would not receive it at all. As a matter of fact, they tried to throw him off the cliff. That's how angry that they were with Jesus of Nazareth. So now, a year later, this is the account that I read to you from Matthew 13, 53, that he's come back to his hometown. And once again, he goes into the synagogue. We don't know for sure what he was teaching them, but I'm sure that he was also, as a part of his teaching, he was revealing himself again as the Messiah to them. Probably teaching them the principles of the kingdom, maybe some of the things in the previous part of this chapter, these various parables. We don't really know for sure. We just know that he taught them in the synagogue, and his teaching, it says, and they were astonished. They were taken back by it. They were shocked, astonished by the words. You know, other places it says that Jesus, when he spoke, he didn't speak like the other scribes, the other spiritual leaders of the Jews, but he spoke with authority. He spoke with power and authority. His words made an impact. And so whenever he spoke in his hometown of Nazareth, they were astonished at what he said. He sat down in the synagogue and he taught them, and his wisdom and his power, it astonished them, because it says that they responded by saying, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" Where did this come from? Well, as you get down there to the end of this chapter, it says that he did not many works there because of their unbelief. I do believe that the Lord can help us as a church to create an atmosphere of faith. An atmosphere of faith where unbelief is gone and is cast out, and that we create an atmosphere of faith. When we come into this place, that we have faith, we have expectancy that God is going to work. One of the reasons why that there were great masses of people, great crowds of people that thronged Jesus everywhere he went, was because they expected that they were going to hear some things they wanted to hear and they needed to hear. They expected that he was going to meet their needs. They had this expectation that he was going to be able to minister to them. And so they were, and many times they were anxious, like Zacchaeus, who climbed up in a tree, anxious to see him, who he was, wanted to hear from him. There was this hunger, appetite for the word of the Lord and to experience the things of God. And in that kind of an atmosphere where there is expectancy and faith, God can do some really wonderful things. Amen. He can do some mighty things. And you notice here that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I know it's kind of hard for us to comprehend this, but God has so arranged it in his purpose and his plan to work in the realm of faith and belief. That's why that he repeatedly would challenge people. Have faith in God. Believe God. Put your confidence in God. Believe the words that I say and that I speak. And you'll see that kind of phrase many, many times as Jesus would speak. Challenging people to believe. Develop a spirit and an atmosphere of confidence and faith. But these people in Nazareth, they couldn't get beyond the fact that this was Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, he was just a hometown boy. And that's why they said, well, this is Joseph's son. Isn't he the son of the carpenter? Wasn't he a carpenter? Actually, the same account in the Gospel of Mark, that's what it says. It says, and is he not a carpenter also? All the way up to the age 30, whenever his earthly ministry began, apparently from the time that he was 12 years old, and he had got his parents had lost him, and he was in the temple, you know, asking questions of the doctors and the lawyers, and so when they find him, the Bible says he went with them, and was subject to his parents. From that time on, and he grew in wisdom and stature and the things of God, he grew, and he was subject to them from the time that he was 12 all the way up to his earthly ministry starting, all the way till he was 30. There's no mention here of Joseph being alive. He's probably passed away during this process, and Joseph was probably the carpenter. He may have built furniture for some of them. Probably did, or repaired things for them. He might have worked on some of their homes or built yokes for their oxen or whatever. He was a hometown boy. This was not a really big town. They knew him. And so on a human level, they had a hard time getting beyond that. Faith, in order for faith to grow and to develop, you have to get above the human level. You have to get below, above human logic, human reasoning, human understanding. And that's where they were at. They just said, well, this is his brothers and sisters live here. This is his hometown. We know who he is. How can he speak with such power and authority? How does he do these mighty works? And they were having a hard time getting beyond their human logic. But we know that faith is much more than that. And for our faith to grow, we have to understand that faith is not seeing things from a human level, from a level of reasoning or logic, human logic, but faith is seeing things from a higher perspective. It's seeing things from God's point of view. Amen? From a higher perspective. And that's what God is calling us to do if we're going to be able to create an atmosphere in the church of expectancy and belief and faith, so that we believe that when the sick come in here, that we're going to pray over them, like the scripture tells us, to anoint and pray over them, and they are going to be healed. And then we believe that when the lost, unsaved, come into these services, that we believe that they're going to hear the gospel, it's going to touch their heart, and they're going to come to the Lord and be saved. We need an atmosphere here in the house of God where we are believing that God is working. Amen. The Bible says the natural man, he doesn't receive, he can't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. So we got to get out of our natural way of seeing and understanding things. We need to increase an atmosphere and build an atmosphere of faith. Amen. So we expect that God's going to do some things here around these altars. We expect that God is going to move. We don't live in unbelief. We're not on that human level, but we see above that. And we understand that God can work in an atmosphere of faith. Amen. I believe that God works mighty works whenever we develop that kind of a spiritual atmosphere, when we really do believe God and we have faith. Remember in Mark chapter 5, when the man, the ruler of the synagogue by the name of Jairus, came to Jesus and said, my young little girl is sick, and is sick, is probably going to die if you will come. And so the Bible says that Jesus agreed to go with him. On the way, they're interrupted by the woman with an issue of blood, and Jesus takes time for that woman, and she's healed and she's touched. And then they go on to Jairus' house. But before they get there, they come to Jairus and say, it's too late. Don't bother the master anymore. She's already passed away. But Jesus spoke to that man and said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be fearful. Get rid of that spirit. Put your confidence in God. Well, when they get to Jairus' house, the Bible calls it a tumult. There's all this crying and wailing and mourning over the young girl that has died. Jesus said, why are you making such a deal? Actually, the wording in the King James is, he says to them, why are you making such a do? Why are you making such a deal over that? She isn't dead. She's only sleeping. Well, these mourners were probably hired mourners, expecting to get paid for making this big deal, because it doesn't take any time at all for them to turn off the tears and turn on the mockery and the laughing. They start mocking and laughing at Jesus because he said, she's not dead. She is only sleeping. Notice what Jesus does. He goes into the room where she is, and he shuts all of them out. Bad atmosphere. Stay out of here. He shut them all out. He only takes the mother and the dad in, a couple of his disciples with him, into that room, and it's in that kind of an atmosphere that that little girl responds when Jesus speaks to her and says, damsel, rise up, get up. All the unbelief is is gone. I'm telling you now, you can spend time around someone that is filled with unbelief, and it will affect your spirit. Amen. It affects your spirit. And then also, you can spend time with someone that's confident in God, full of the Spirit, a person of real faith, and that person can build your faith and encourage you in the promises of God. And that's what needs to be happening right here in this building every time we come together, because most of the time there are going to be people walking into this place and they're on the bottom. They are defeated. They are hopeless. They are discouraged. They need to come into a place where hope is alive, where faith is active, and where we can see God working and moving in this place. Amen. I've been around church, Pentecost, a long time. All of my life, I've been around it. Since I was a kid. And I have been in church services that were almost electric. It felt like that something alive was going on in that place. From the time the service would begin, you sensed it. You believed it. And you could tell that God was there in that place. And it was in that kind of an atmosphere that many things happened for the glory of God. Amen. Church becomes dull and boring and insignificant when there's no life and there's no faith and no expectancy here in this place. But if we come in here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and we worship the Lord and we pray together and we have great confidence that God is working and moving, then that atmosphere will be created here, an atmosphere of faith and where God can do wonderful and supernatural things. Jesus did no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Was he powerless? No, he was the same Jesus, the same Son of God. But God has so chosen to work and to move in an atmosphere of faith. Now, he can do what he wants to do, but God's plan and his purpose is faith. An atmosphere of faith is where God moves. The same account in Mark chapter 6, it says, and he could do there no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Just a few things were accomplished. What does it mean? Well, it means when we're full of doubt and unbelief, and we're talking that way, and that's our spirit, that we're going to hinder what God wants to do. We are going to limit what God wants to accomplish. Now, I don't want to be a hindrance to the move of God. I don't want to be a hindrance to what to folks hearing the gospel and receiving it and being saved. I don't want to be a hindrance. And I think most of you would agree that the church has a great deal of potential. But if we're full of unbelief and doubt, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You say, oh, the Lord can do whatever he wants to do. God has chosen to move in an atmosphere of faith. That's the way that God works and moves in our lives, in our churches. And he'll move here if we'll put our confidence in God. And all those thoughts that come to your mind of unbelief and all of that the enemy wants to insert into your mind and your thinking, don't believe it. Don't believe the lies of the enemy, and certainly don't repeat them. Amen. Believe God. Believe God's word. Stand on the promises of God. Amen. You know, unbelief ignores the obvious and it believes the insignificant. That's an example here. I mean, they're saying, well, isn't this Joseph? He's the carpenter. And don't his sisters and brothers live here? And his mother lives here? And what's going on here? And they're ignoring the reality that he was teaching with power and authority. They're ignoring the fact that he was doing mighty works right before their eyes.
But unbelief does that. Unbelief makes a big deal out of the insignificant and ignores the great and the wonderful things that God is doing. Let's put our confidence in God here tonight and trust the Lord and believe that God can do wonderful things. Unbelief blinds us to the truth, blinds us to the truth of what God is wanting to do, how he is wanting to work. It blinds us to that unbelief. The Bible says they were offended in him. They were offended by him. Who is this man? Where did this power and authority come from? They had already heard it. They had witnessed his power, the miracles. They witnessed it all. But now they're all worried about, you know, how, why him? Why is he speaking? And instead of realizing God is working wonderfully in this situation and in our little town here, he's doing some wonderful things. They were offended because of his background, from his because he was a commoner. They were offended because, you know, he was just a hometown boy. All those things had become so important to them, and they were not even focusing upon the fact that God was doing something wonderful in their midst. Amen. Faith sees the promise of God and sees what God is doing. I want you to be encouraged to know that God is up to some wonderful things. He really is. He is moving. He is speaking. He wants to do some wonderful, mighty works among us. And he already is. I just have confidence in the power of prayer. And I know that the last 7 months or so, that there has been a lot of prayer and seeking the Lord here in this location. I just believe that none of those prayers have been ignored by God, that all of those prayers are mighty and powerful, and that God is at work. And we need to create an atmosphere of faith here where we really believe it, and we act on it, and we trust that God is going to work. Amen. From this example, we can see that faith understands, faith realizes that God uses ordinary people, ordinary circumstances to accomplish wonderful, mighty things. Amen. That's right. Little old you, little old me. He uses the ordinary, the common, to do wonderful and mighty things, and we need to trust him tonight and ask the Lord to help us to create an atmosphere of faith right here at this location. Amen. Right in this sanctuary, that there is an atmosphere that when people walk in the door, and especially those that come in and they are desperately in need. And I've mentioned this a lot of times, and just recently, that, you know, it's very rare at our church, and we're blessed, I guess, because of where we're located here on Main Street, but it's very rare for us to have a Sunday without folks just walking in, visitors walking in. It's almost every weekend that I'm having to say to my wife, I don't know if I knew who that was. Who was that person sitting over there, sitting back there? Who was that? And she don't know either. Neither one of us know, and I try to meet them and try to see them before they leave. There's a gentleman that's been here the last two Sundays. The Sunday before, I didn't get to him. This past Sunday, I did. I met him at the back door before he got to his car, and he's been here two Sundays. I don't know anything about who he is as far as his background or his spiritual life, but he's been here two times. That lets me know that's a man that is interested in the things of God. He's interested. And we are blessed to see that happen really often. My prayer is, Lord, I don't want anyone to walk in here and walk away saying, well, nothing going on there. Nothing happening there. No life there. No answers there. I want them to come and find help. I want them to come into an atmosphere where God is moving. God is speaking. The Spirit of God is at work ministering to the lives of people. Pray with me about this. Amen. For this month of February, that we'll see
Folks in need find help, and they will if they come into an atmosphere where faith is active. Amen. Is there any faith here tonight? Amen. If you have faith and you believe that God can do great things, why don't you stand up? Amen. Stand up. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together about this weekend. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we know, Lord, that if we just do in our own physical strength, our own human effort, Lord, that it's going to be a failure every time. But Lord, if we can enter into the promises of God and believe, God, that you are at work, Lord, I know that you can do mighty things. Help us to see beyond, Lord, just the common things, and to see, Lord, that you want to use ordinary people and ordinary situations, Lord, and bless and anoint and use us all for the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to believe the promises of God, Lord, and that doubt would be destroyed and doubt would be cast out. And Lord, that we would lay hold of the promises of God to see you working, saving, healing, delivering, Lord, those that are in need. Do that work, Lord, as we gather in here this weekend for our services, Lord. We're asking you, Lord, bless and pour out your spirit, and may this place, Lord, be saturated with faith and confidence in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's believe the Lord. Lord bless you all. You're dismissed.